Akatra Foundation presents the Akatra Dialogue, an exploration of the world's greatest thinkers and ideas. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Akatra AI.
Welcome, everyone, to That Deep Dive. Today, we're talking about someone truly iconic, Oprah Winfrey.
A household name, for sure.
Exactly. But we want to go a bit deeper than just the headlines, you know? We're diving into what we're calling a conceptual memoir of her life.
So, not just one specific book, but more like synthesizing her whole public journey.
Precisely. We're weaving together insights from her shows, interviews, her own writings, everything, really.
Okay.
And the big question we're exploring is, how does someone go from such profound trauma, such deep poverty, to becoming this global symbol of empowerment?
It's an incredible transformation, turning those wounds into, well, into wisdom, as she often says.
Yeah, that's the core of it. We're looking at that personal alchemy.
And her story, it's really more than just success, isn't it? It's like a masterclass in resilience.
Totally. A roadmap, almost. She didn't just change media. She changed how we think about being vulnerable in public.
Mm-hmm. There's this clear line you can trace showing how the pain really did fuel her purpose.
And for you listening, our goal here is to pull out those key aha moments, give you a solid understanding without, you know, getting bogged down in every single detail.
It's a rich life, a lot to cover.
It is. But this is more than just a biography. Think of it as maybe a blueprint for transformation. So let's get into it.
Okay.
We're exploring the life of Oprah Gail Winfrey, born back on January 29th, 1954.
And her journey. I mean, from dirt floors in rural Mississippi.
Right. To becoming the first African-American female billionaire. It's just quite the odyssey.
What really strikes me is how her life shows that vulnerability, that real connection, and just living authentically, how powerful that can be.
Yeah, inspiring millions.
It's this incredible testament, really. A girl who was basically taught she was worthless, not only finds her own value, but spends her life teaching others to find theirs.
It's astonishing, especially when you look at the very beginning. Those formative years, they were stark.
Incredibly so. Born in Kosciusko, Mississippi, unmarried teenage parents, deep poverty.
She's talked about wearing potato sacks for dresses, playing with corncob dolls. I mean, where does hope even start in that environment?
Well, there was a crucial figure, her maternal grandmother, Hattie Mae Lee.
Yes.
Stern, definitely, but also loving. And crucially, Hattie Mae taught Oprah to read before she was even 3 years old.
Wow, before three.
Yeah. And that wasn't just about reading. It was like her first little spark of empowerment, you know, a hint of the impact she'd have later.
And the church, too, right? Her first stage.
Absolutely. Reciting Bible verses, earning the nickname the Little Speaker. That early experience, finding her voice, it was vital.
But then things took a really dark turn, moving to Milwaukee to live with her mother, Vernita Lee.
Yeah, that period brought instability, neglect, and then unimaginable years of sexual abuse starting when she was just nine.
By relatives, a family friend. It's just horrifying. She talked about feeling like a soiled thing, that kind of shame.
It's a wound that would deeply shape her. As she processed it later, that pain became a source of profound empathy.
A source of connection with others who suffered.
Exactly. But before that, there was another low point, a teenage pregnancy, the premature birth and death of her son.
Just devastating.
But that crisis, awful as it was, became a sort of desperate turning point. It led her to Nashville to live with her father, Vernon Winfrey.
And that move seemed so critical after all that chaos. What did Vernon provide?
Structure, discipline, but also unwavering expectations. Daily book reports, a word of the day.
Wow, really? A book reports?
Yeah. It sounds strict, and it was, but it gave her this framework for excellence she desperately needed. It was the scaffolding for her future, really.
And under his guidance, she started to thrive academically.
Big time. Speech, debate. She won an oratory contest, got a full scholarship to Tennessee State University.
Studying speech communications and performing arts, it's like all the pieces were starting to point towards, well, towards media.
They really were, and it happened fast. While still in college, she landed a job as a news anchor at a Nashville TV station.
Youngest and first Black female anchor there, wasn't she?
That's right. But it wasn't easy. She struggled with the detachment required for hard news.
Getting emotional during sad stories, getting criticized for it.
Yeah, being told she was too emotional.
It's fascinating, isn't it?
Ugh.
Her authentic self, that empathy, was already bumping up against the constraints of the role.
It just wasn't the right fit.
Not at all. And the real turning point, the aha moment, as she'd call it, came with a perceived failure.
The demotion in Baltimore.
Exactly. She was moved from news co-anchor at WJZ-TV to co-host this low-rated morning talk show, People Are Talking.
Must have felt like a huge step down. Humiliating, probably.
Oh, I'm sure. But it freed her. It freed her to just be herself, to connect emotionally with the guests, with the audience.
And that's where she found her true calling. Right there, facilitating those authentic human conversations.
Such a lesson there, isn't it?
Yeah.
The setback redirecting you to your real path.
Absolutely. And then came Chicago in 1984. She takes over this struggling show, AM Chicago.
And boom, within months, her style, authentic, high energy takes it to number one.
Yeah, surpassing Phil Donahue, who was the king back then.
Less than a year later, it's renamed The Oprah Winfrey Show and goes national. The Oprah Effect was officially born.
And that leads us into her peak years, where the show itself underwent a huge transformation.
It started out a bit more like the sensationalist talk shows of the time.
Oh, it did. But there was a specific episode, I think featuring the KKK, that just deeply disturbed her. Mm. And that led to a really conscious, very brave pivot in the mid-90s. She decided to move towards more inspirational, empowering content.
The whole live your best life era.
Exactly. And launching Oprah's book club in 96, I mean, that cemented her as this major cultural force. Showed the power of reading on a massive scale.
But that must have been a risk, right? Yeah. Shifting away from the easy ratings towards something more substantial.
A huge risk. People thought she was crazy, potentially throwing away her success. But it deepened the connection with her audience. It built trust.
And then she built the Empire Harpo Studios. Oh, the Oprah magazine.
Acting too, producing. The Color Purple was a significant moment.
But even at the peak, there were challenges. Ending the show in 2011 after 25 years, that took guts.
A massive leap of faith. And then launching OBUN, the Oprah Winfrey Network. That was tough.
Yeah, it struggled publicly at first.
It really did. She had to get very hands-on, reevaluate things. It showed a certain humility, I think, learning in public.
Before turning it around successfully.
Right. And her later years, they feel marked by reflection, philanthropy, especially the Leadership Academy for Girls in South Africa.
OLAG. She calls it her greatest legacy.
And you can see why. It feels like her journey came full circle, finding peace and focusing on service.
So looking at this incredible life, what's the core philosophy driving it all? It feels simple, yet profound.
It really is. It's rooted in optimism, a kind of spiritual awareness. Key elements are intentionality, gratitude, telling authentic stories.
And this fundamental belief in everyone's inherent worth.
Absolutely. She didn't just preach it, she lived it. Viewing all experiences, even the really painful ones, as chances to learn and grow.
Like her idea that the universe speaks in whispers.
Exactly. Life gives you clues, right? Gentle nudges. If you ignore the whispers,
they become pebbles.
Then bricks, then a brick wall. Adversity isn't random. It's a course correction. Pay attention.
That makes so much sense. We've probably all ignored a few whispers. And her belief in intention. Intention is everything.
Yeah, the idea that the energy and clarity you bring to an action shapes the outcome. That drove the show's shift, you know, from just talk to transformation.
And central to all this is healing the wound. Her idea that your greatest pain can become your greatest asset.
Mm-hmm. Her own childhood abuse fueled that deep empathy, that connection with millions. Sharing her story wasn't weakness, it was strength.
Turn your wounds into wisdom. Such a powerful mantra.
It really is. Yeah. And it connects to her other core idea. You are responsible for your life.
Which can sound a bit harsh, but she acknowledges systemic issues.
Oh, no, definitely. But her point is, while you might not be responsible for what happened to you, you are responsible for your response. That's the core of live your best life, internal empowerment.
And her own motivations changed over time, too, didn't they?
Hugely. Early on. Mm-hmm. Survival. Validation, escaping poverty, proving she was worthy.
Quieting that inner voice of shame.
Exactly. Then mid-career, it shifted. Connection, service, using the platform for healing for those aha moments for the audience, not just for fame.
And later.
Legacy, fulfillment, especially through things like OLAG, giving back long-term.
And she saw adversity almost like a curriculum.
Totally. A three-step process, really. One, acknowledge the pain, feel it fully, the anger. The shame.
Don't bypass it.
Right. Two, find the lesson. Actively ask, what is this trying to teach me? You know, the demotion taught authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
Omen's struggles taught humility.
Okay. And three.
Course correct with intention. Use that new wisdom to pivot. Turn the setback into an essential detour.
Let's zoom in on three of those major detours, those pivotal turning points.
Yeah.
First, that Baltimore demotion back in 78.
Right. Deemed unfit for news, moved to the morning talk show People Are Talking, a public setback.
But so transformative. It literally forced her out of a box that didn't fit.
Exactly. It pushed her off a path where her greatest gift, that empathy, was a liability, and onto one where it was her biggest asset.
Set the stage for everything.
Completely. The second one, revealing her childhood sexual abuse on air in 1986.
That must have been terrifying. A spontaneous moment on a show about a noose.
Yeah, apparently quite spontaneous and just radical for its time. Nobody was doing that.
And the impact.
Transformative. It shattered the silence around trauma, created this incredible bond of trust with her audience. It changed the show's DNA, really.
And modeled that sharing your story can be empowering, not shameful.
Precisely. And the third turning point, that mid-90s pivot to Change Your Life TV and the whole Beef lawsuit that followed.
Right, she got tired of trash TV, risked everything to shift focus.
Court spirituality, self-help, books, and then that mad cow disease episode in 96.
Where she said she was stopped cold from eating another burger.
And the Texas cattleman sued her for a libel. Big time lawsuit.
Huge risk, again, financially, reputationally.
Absolutely. But winning that suit, it validated her choices, her influence, her commitment to using her platform responsibly.
That's when she truly became the Oprah we think of now, the guide, the teacher, not just an entertainer.
Definitely. So when we connect all these struggles to universal human experiences, what are the big lessons for us?
Well, first, authenticity is power. Her career proves it, right? It only exploded when she was truly herself.
Absolutely. And second, your past doesn't dictate your future. Resilience, self-improvement, they can overcome almost any starting point.
That's incredibly hopeful.
It is.
Yeah.
Third, listen to your life. Those whispers, those setbacks, they're messages. Learn to interpret them, pivot based on them. Don't just give up.
And fourth, success without service feels empty. True fulfillment comes from impacting others.
Yeah, it's not just about personal gain. And maybe finally, the importance of boundaries as self-love. You can't pour from an empty cup, especially when you're giving so much.
And her honesty about struggles like weight, racism, even the OWN launch, failing initially, that makes her relatable, doesn't it?
Totally. These are universal challenges. Seeing how she navigated them, using her own philosophy, it gives us a roadmap for our own growth, our own search for purpose.
Okay, so let's try to distill this into three final takeaways for everyone listening.
Right.
For emotional insight, I think it has to be that Baltimore demotion moment, the perceived failure becoming the catalyst for her true power. It shows how wounds aren't the end, they're often the beginning of wisdom.
Yeah. I like that. For an intellectual insight, I'd point to the strategic choice to pivot the show. Moving away from easy sensationalism towards enlightenment, it proved that values-driven decisions can actually build a more lasting, impactful empire built on trust, not just ratings. It showed success without fulfillment isn't really success at all.
That's powerful. And for a universal insight, maybe that understanding she embodies, every person you meet is fighting a battle you know nothing about.
Born from her own life, right? Both being judged and learning compassion.
Yeah. And it teaches us that approaching people with empathy, it just creates space for connection, for healing, for growth, for everyone involved.
Beautifully put.
Oprah's journey really invites us to look at our own lives with that same honest compassion, doesn't it? To see our struggles not just as pain, but as potential wisdom.
And to ask ourselves, like she encourages, what do you know for sure? And maybe what is your own life trying to tell you right now?
Her life is proof, really, that healing ourselves can ripple outwards, create collective change. We all have that power, in our own way, to write our own story's ending. Outro music begins.
Join us next time for a new episode featuring another world-renowned individual, a new book, and a new idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation. Outro music fades out.